The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We have a great episode of UFC Unfiltered. My pal and Matt's pal, Luis J. Gomez, joins us to talk about his fight. Anthony Smith is on the phone talking about his upcoming fight with Volkan Oezdemir. Stick around, please.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Well, it's very exciting. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We do have Anthony Smith calling in today. Just to mix up last episode, I'm sure we like Anthony Smith a lot. And Luis J. Gomez is coming in. You know Luis, he hosted the podcast with Michael Bisping. Luis, a big MMA fan. He's a funny dude.
Believe You Me is the podcast, I believe.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. And right. he's a comic. He's part of Legion of Skanks. A really motivated guy. I love Luis because he's really, really a hard worker. And in the business, a lot of people are lazy.
Jimmy, you know who I don't love?
Hold on, let me guess. George St. Pierre?
Wait, hold on. Why is Chris getting nervous? Why?
Why? Because you guys are going to say
why,
him.
Why, Chris?
I figured it was going to be this guy. You were going to point over me. Yeah, what did I
Chris,
do?
Chris, you didn't do anything.
Oh, I know what you're going.
What was I
going
to say?
The doorman.
The doorman downstairs. That's not the security guy?
He's a security guy, yeah.
Slash doorman?
Yeah.
How about slash asshole?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I don't like him. I think he's a fucking idiot. That's what I think. I go, maybe he's having an off day. Maybe he can't hear. But when you walk in and there's a door guy there, and you go, hey, how's it going? And the guy just totally ignores you.
The worst.
And he just looks away and he just goes on about it. I'm like, all right. I'm like, hey, all right, take care. And he just looks and keeps like, I'm not even. It's like, hey, dude, you don't got to lay out a fucking rose petals.
But don't be a dick.
How about a nod of the head? You're there to fucking pretty much greet people, asshole. It's not my fault you didn't fucking go to college. Go fuck yourself. I didn't go either. I did it right for myself.
Not your fault. Not
I don't like
fault.
Your attitude. And listen, I'm not attacking anybody in that position. Be a nice person. Just how about a smile? I'm not asking for a hug. How about just a nod of the head?
He wants to be a cop and he can't be.
Dude, he's what a douchebag. And those funny, I like the guy with the beard now who I was unsure of.
Chris.
Matt, it's been 2 years.
Actually, the jury's still out on this guy. But the guy that I thought was saying, well, no, actually, he did come in and say we were too loud, but we weren't. That whole mishap. Yeah. There's a lot of, so far, it's exciting, this new
studio.
Yeah,
there's a lot of conflict.
A lot of stuff going on. But anyway, I like him now because we bonded over the asshole downstairs. So I come in and I saw the guys. I go, now listen, we don't have a cough button, so you're going to have to hear me belch once in a while, people. It's not my fault. I'm sorry.
You can turn your head.
I could do. Jimmy, you didn't
not
say
anything.
Not
towards me.
So I go to the guys when I come in. You don't have to say his name. I'll call him Beard.
Okay.
So I went to Beard.
I don't even know his name.
Nice guy. Tall guy with a beard. So I go, hey, man. I go, listen, let me ask you something. Now, hard of hearing, it's a or asshole. There's one or the other. He's either, the guy maybe cannot hear, and I don't want to be like a dick. Maybe the guy, some guys just have a hard time hearing.
And he might not have known that you greeted him, which does happen sometimes.
You know.
Guy doesn't know.
Right.
You ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm when he's like, pharmacist or doctor or whatever it is. Doctor or pharmacist. I love that episode. But with this one, it's either hard of hearing or asshole. One or the other, Jimmy.
I say both.
You think he's hard of hearing, this guy?
Yep, and I think that makes you an asshole. Matt and I have talked about this. If you can't hear, don't talk.
That's not even cool. Well, the guy, listen. All I know is that flies once, and I don't let it ruin my day. I just say, all right, note to self, don't say hello to this guy.
Did he look at you though?
No eye contact at all. So I thought maybe that's what it was. So I said something else. Still looking away. I'm like, all right. Then when I went upstairs, they go, oh no, that guy's an ass. Like, okay. I got a good judge of people.
Oh, I didn't talk to him. I just walked right by him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw him when I signed in the other day. I don't remember. Oh, we got Anthony Smith on the phone.
Oh, I like
you
that.
You can give us a signal, Chris. All right.
I did. I like that.
I didn't see
Hello.
You. Hi, buddy. How are you?
What's up, Lionheart?
I am so sorry I missed you guys.
Ah, oh, that's okay. I had a doctor's appointment. Otherwise, we would have stayed. Dude, we figured it was a schedule.
We can't stay mad at you. We weren't mad anyway, buddy. It's all good. It happens sometimes.
Our feelings were hurt.
I felt terrible. I was like, I had forgotten about it, and I was in the middle of pouring some concrete for a friend. And once it was going, you can't really stop, so I was kind of stuck.
Even in your private time, you're doing man shit.
That's man shit right
there. Pouring concrete is a good excuse.
Yeah, dude.
That's a good excuse.
I wish I that's something that I'll never say in my life, that I'm pouring concrete. I'm not a handy dude at all.
Well, now, was this for money, or was this someone's driveway you were helping with?
No, it's just a buddy of mine. He helped me out with building a deck. So I helped him out doing some concrete on his driveway.
Now, are you handy? I'm not a handy person. Matt just said he's not. Matt's a fighter, but I have no ability to be handy at all. Could you just build shit?
Yeah. I can figure it out.
Oh, see, that's the type of confidence. How about with engines? Are you good with engines and things like that?
I'm not that good with cars.
But what did you want to do before you fought? What was your dream before you became a fighter?
I didn't really have one. I kind of started this right after I dropped out of high school, so I didn't really know what I was going to do. This was just what I ended up doing. I was a concrete finisher until probably my second or third UFC fight back, once I made it back to the UFC. But so the first two or three fights, I was a full-time concrete finisher and fighting.
So you dropped out of high school. I did too. What year did you drop out?
Halfway through my senior year.
Dude, the exact same thing with me. I went to rehab. I got forced into rehab when I was 17. It was January of 1986. So what made you drop out? Were you fighting or drinking, or what happened?
All of it. I was fighting and drinking and partying, and I was kind of only really in school because I wanted to wrestle in college. And I kind of was a fucking idiot and got myself kicked off the wrestling team. So in my mind at that time, there was really no reason to still be in school.
Yeah. Did you regret it afterwards for a little while? I never really regretted it. I was 3 years later, I got a GED, but I never had regret for not graduating.
No, I didn't. I've never regretted it. I got my GED, honestly, about 2 or 3 years afterwards, so about the same. And I don't think that I ever would have found, you know, I don't think I would have found fighting had I moved on and wrestled and finished out that year and then wrestled in college. I don't think I would have ever been where I'm at now. You know, I'm one of those people that it's cool to go back and look at things and think about how it would be a little bit different. But, you know, I think if one of those things would have changed even a little bit, I might not be where I am now.
And what about a student? Were you much of a student or no?
Not really. I've always been pretty smart. Never had too much of a struggle in school. It was more the structure of school that didn't really fit my personality. Like I've just never felt like I belonged there. You know, I know that sounds kind of weird, but I just didn't fit in the school structure.
I totally get it, man. I actually, when I graduated, but they put me on home tutoring. So they gave me like a tutor to come over. And they just said, look, hey, Mr. Sarah, just stay at home and we'll see you at graduation. And with those tutors, they don't want to be a bad tutor. So even when you're taking tests, they kind of like,
they help you out a little.
They're putting their finger on the C and shit. They don't want to, because they're getting paid to be a tutor. So if I fail, they're going to be shitty.
By the way, you know how much of a fuck up you have to be for the school to go, we'll send people to you. Just stay home and sleep in.
Yeah, worth
it. When I was a sophomore, I was skipping school all the time and I just didn't, you know, I just didn't like it. So they put me in an alternative school and I really did. I didn't have any problems in the alternative school. It was kind of built around my mindset. You know, it was like a room full of other fuck ups, you know, and the days were short and you didn't have to be there the whole day. You didn't have to go in till like 10. So it really fit my personality a little bit better. I just went in and knocked out everything I had to do, and I could leave when I was done. You know, I think that fits my personality better.
Well, speaking of knocking shit out, I don't know. I'm trying to be a good segue guy. It's
excellent.
Fucking horrible.
It was fine.
It wasn't bad, right?
No, this. Maybe you can give us your view, Dr. Lecter. That was like that fucking Jodie Foster one.
So forced. No, but hey, listen, man. I know the Rashad Evans fight was extremely satisfying. How satisfying, how thrilled, Because I expected a battle, to be honest with you, and Shogun Rua. And I was like, all right, now maybe we're going to see some of Anthony's jiu-jitsu, his ground game. I'm interested to see this. They're both well-rounded. What's going to happen? And I'm not complaining, but shit, man, you made short work of a legend. Tell me about immediately after the fight gets stopped. What's going on? What's going on through your head?
I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, right.
I was shocked. You know, and I don't mean this. I don't want to be disrespectful to Shogun because I respect that guy so much, and he's been so respectful to me since then. You know, he hasn't given any excuses. He just said that I was just better, and I really respect that. But I was surprised at how everything went exactly how it was supposed to. You know how it is, Matt. You get into a fight and you think you know how something's going to go, yeah. And then it goes in there, and then nothing is the same. Nothing's how you expected it. The speed is different. They don't do what you expect them to do or whatever. And everything went exactly as I had planned it out in my head. Everything that I tried worked. Everything that we had, almost every single thing that we talked about doing for Shogun, I was able to do in such a short amount of time, and it all worked. So I was almost shocked that it was, I don't want to say that it was so easy,
yeah.
But I was just shocked that it went so smooth.
You know, Anthony, too, I have to ask you, you're fighting Volkan Oezdemir on October 27th. Now, Jimmy Manoa is scheduled to fight Glover Teixeira. I think Glover's hurt and has to drop out. So Manoa has no fight. And then what do you tweet something about? Let me know the flight information, like you're ready to jump on that card in September?
Yeah, if they need me to, I'll fight them both.
That's a terrible idea.
It doesn't matter.
You can't do that because you're going to fight the number two guy. Don't fight a lower ranked guy when you don't have to.
Well, my brain doesn't work like that. The numbers don't matter. If
that's true,
they need me to step in and go fight. I'll do it. I'm not doing anything else. I'm just hanging out.
He's pouring concrete.
And he does have confidence. But look at Frankie Edgar, Brian Ortega. Like that really derailed Frankie for a little while. Once in a while, that fight you don't expect.
It did.
So you're
I don't assume that the UFC is going to pull me from the Volkan fight to go. Yeah. To Brazil, but I guess my point is I will if that's what they need, and that's I don't have any problem doing that. Obviously, I have a fight coming up, so I'm not blowing up the matchmaker's phone,
sure.
Begging for it. But yeah. I wanted it to be clear and known that if that's what they need, I'm there.
Yeah, you throw your name in a hat. No,
is
that a saying? By the
yes,
way,
it throw is. Your name throw in your name. Hat? Of course it is.
Okay, sometimes I say sayings. And I'm not positive that they're
saying. I do that too. I do that too all the time.
You know, make it up shit.
Yeah, but you're ready to fight anybody they put in front of you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Anthony, this is a Volkan. He kicked a lot of ass, man. Like with Jimmy Manoa and several other guys, where he's a badass. But then he fought DC, and just styles make fights. So the way DC fought him, and he utilized his grappling. And he smoked them, you know what I mean? So it's kind of one of those things where people have short memories. You are fighting a very, very dangerous guy.
Coming off a loss.
With one of the worst nicknames ever. I'm not listening. I love Lionheart. That's something that I'm an old school guy. It reminds me of something that it reminds me of both like Braveheart. It reminds me of some Van Damme movie. But No Time is just, I don't want to be a dick. But fuck that shit,
not
man.
A great...
Not... Anthony, you got to win just because of that nickname.
Yeah. That's my nickname in
it's
bed.
Bad.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Yeah, so you're fighting a guy. Because here's the thing. Let's just say you beat Volkan Oezdemir, and I do think you can beat Volkan Oezdemir. Gustafsson is hurt, and people hate the way I say his name is Gustafsson, but it's fun to say that way. DC is not fighting light heavyweight until he fights Brock. There's no way he's doing a light heavyweight. So let's just say you win this fight. Do you think that there's some type of an interim belt fight set up between you and Gustafsson?
I would imagine so. You know, here's the deal. I don't worry about everybody else too much, but if I go in there and I do what I think that I'm going to do and I finish Volkan and I do it devastatingly like I think I'm going to, I don't even, you know, DC, even when we ran into each other in LA, he made it a point to mention that, you know, I'm like one of the only guys that hasn't called him out because I think it's a waste of time. I don't want to challenge DC to a fight. I don't want to challenge DC to anything other than doing the right thing. And, you know, I've said this before, the game was good to DC, and no one held up his journey. So when I go in there and I do what I do, I don't really care who has the title. I don't care if it's vacant. I don't care if DC has it. I think it's his responsibility to sign on the line and give me my opportunity or get out of my way.
But you're right. But there is a reality to guys being a little bit more vocal really does garner interest, and the powers that be do kind of notice if there's an interest in somebody. Like, look at how fast Darren Till has kind of jumped up over everybody.
Very true. Very true. But I don't want to waste my shot. When I take it, I want it to mean something. Sure. And like you said, I don't think that DC's ever coming back.
Agree.
So I don't want to challenge him to a fight because that's a waste of time. I want to fight whoever has the title that's willing to want to fight for it. So I don't know if it'll be an interim title or if maybe that'll be the time that DC decides, all right, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to hold up these guys any longer. And I'm going to vacate the title, and then whoever else can fight for it.
And Anthony, how much better do you feel at this weight class compared to 185? Because I mean, you know, it's your action. Your fights are speaking for itself, but themselves. But I fucked that up. But I mean themselves. But no, you listen. You're looking phenomenal at 205. How much better do you feel?
I'm feeling great. I can't stress it enough how I just wish I wish the other guys that are struggling would give it a shot.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
You bring up Darren Till. I think Darren Till would be phenomenal at 185 because not only is he as dangerous, he'd be just as dangerous, but he would feel better. You know, and it's not just the night of the fight; it's the 10 or 8 weeks that I have in camp leading up to that, where I'm not draining myself and I'm not miserable, and I can just focus an entire training camp on getting better and never worry about what this goddamn scale says.
You know, it's
just
I'm
one
sorry.
Thing that I just never have to worry about. And it's okay to go into like a skill building exercise where it's just me and Mark and we're just walking through shit over and over and over again. I'm not able to do that when I fight at 185 because I need to be burning calories and losing weight.
Right.
So, and I'm able to get enough rest because I'm not having, if I have one of those skill building practices, then we have to add another practice because I wasn't losing enough weight during that training session. So I'm actually able to rest and recover a whole lot more. And I've noticed I'm not nearly as sore. I'm not nearly as grumpy. I'm more in tune with what's going on around me as far as practice and training. And even in the fight with Shogun, it was weird for me to really focus on what he was doing and really getting him to react and really kind of steering the direction of the fight instead of just going in there like I normally did at 185 and just putting my foot on the gas and going because I was already drained. I was exhausted. I just went in and just acted like a buzzsaw. I just tried to punch my way through a brick wall and hopefully they fell down. At 205, I can really focus on being a smarter fighter. And I think that those are the two things that I've really shown in the last two fights is I have the ability now to focus.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because a lot of guys, when they move up in weight, when you look at like Gaslam's a smaller middleweight, but he's still doing really great. It does hurt other guys, but you're not even a small light heavyweight. You got a 2-inch reach advantage over Uzdemir and you have a 4-inch leg reach advantage. So it's not like you're not going in there as a small guy either.
And that kind of stuff was what makes me feel so goddamn stupid. Like, why, I don't know why I was so worried about it for so long. Had I beat Thiago Santos in Brazil, we wouldn't, you know, like it goes back to that. If one thing was different, I wouldn't have made the move because there wouldn't, but that terrible feeling of loss and knowing that I'm better than that is what really forced me to go down or go back or to go up. And I just didn't care about if they were bigger than me. And then I get here and I'm like, Jesus, man, no one's bigger than I am, you know?
Right.
And it's funny. You're saying you want to put that, like, you want more fighters to learn from that or look at how you're doing. But, I mean, look at guys like you said, Kelvin Gastelum. Look at Robert Whittaker. I mean, now he's the champion. I mean, these are all guys that went up. Anthony Rumble Johnson. These are all guys that at one point were the biggest in that weight class or big for their weight class. They had mixed success. They went up and they became just world beaters.
And Diego Sanchez has fought. He's fighting as a fucking a bantamweight woman's fighter now. He's been in every single weight class. I mean, guy has jumped up and down, and he's amazing in every division. It's fucking incredible.
I love Diego.
It seems to me it would just be a lot more comfortable to not have to cut that kind of weight the night before a fight or the 3 days before a fight. There's no way that can make you better cutting that kind of weight just to be a little bit heavier when you're standing there fighting with a guy.
No, not at all. And I didn't even realize how much fun fight week could really be. These last two fights were my first experiences with, like, actually enjoying the week of the fight. Like, you know how you feel, Matt, when you're cutting weight you don't want to go anywhere. Like, it was cool to go out and check out Germany and eat at the restaurants, and check out the culture. Like, I wasn't able to do any of that stuff before.
Have you noticed a lot of attention from the fans now that you've been on this really impressive run?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely on social media, that's definitely blown up. And I get noticed and recognized a lot more these days. And people, I just notice people care. I don't know if I'm getting recognized anymore or if people just approach me more. But everyone's been super cool. I've been taking a lot more pictures than I did before. That's for sure.
Well, look, man. Good luck, Anthony. You're fighting Volkan Oezdemir Saturday, October the 27th. And it's a fight that I'm really looking forward to. Again, he's a dangerous guy coming off that terrible, terrible loss to DC. But my prediction is this. You're right. Cormier will never come back to light heavyweight. He's going to fight Brock. That title will be vacated. Sorry. And then if the winner of this fight will be put up against somebody else in what will become the light heavyweight title fight.
That's what I hope happens.
I'm guessing it's going to be Gustafson.
Sounds good to me.
Well, if Gustafson's healthy, I'm guessing it's going to be Alexander Gustafson. If not, I can't see maybe on TV.
I would imagine it'd be if I was going to make a prediction, I'd imagine me versus Gustafson early 2019.
Dude, yep, that's I'm watching it fight
for sure. Anthony, we love watching you fight, dude. We would love, and if ever in New York, please hang out with us in studio.
I'm gonna make sure I make a trip of it this camp.
Right. Awesome, man. Awesome. Good. We'll get a slice afterwards.
Good talking to you, man.
Sounds good to me. Take care, guys.
All right, Anthony. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Now, Luis J. Gomez, my pal,
yes!
Our pal, has been here waiting
patiently.
Rubbing
Ben Gay all over himself.
That's
get
how
in
you
in
know
here.
Luis is really in
what
training.
What the fuck? Dude, you're looking, first of all, get in here. Let me give you, put those on so you can hear the applause I'm going to give when you get on this show. This is high tech now.
Hell yeah.
Wait, who's in studio now?
Luis J. Gomez.
Let me just put this fucking thing on, man. Just so people get the, just so you get the proper feel.
Dude, holy shit.
Dude. Hanging out with the Count is rubbing off on you because the last time I seen you, you didn't look sloppy. You probably get like a skinny fat, but
yeah.
You look in shape now.
You can see the arm. Like when you move your arm, you can see the little ball of bicep.
Or maybe it's because you're wearing a Superman shirt.
Possibly.
That's also true. It does help. It's a psychological message. I always, this, Jim. I go up and down. I'm like Bob Kelly. Like I put on weight. I'm not, look.
Yeah,
I'm
not that he's extreme as Bob Kelly.
Just 1/10 his size. You know.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, but I put on weight. I grew up as a fat kid. So once you got those fat genes, you don't really lose them.
I got fat genes a lot in my closet. it. I gotta,
yeah.
I can get I fucking fluctuate too.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Now I got this. We're doing this fight for LS Mania, this for charity, which I say it's for charity.
Oh, it's for LS Mania. I didn't realize it. Okay.
Yeah, I try to sound like a good person, like I'm doing it for charity. I have no fucking clue what charity is.
What kind of fight is it?
It's an MMA fight.
Oh, it's an MMA fight.
We're doing an MMA fight against another comedian, LA comedian named Ryan O'Neal. And,
are you guys cool? Or?
I don't really know him well.
Really?
We've hung out a couple times at this point. We brought him out to Skankfest. We did a big press conference for it. It got stupid.
Skankfest.
Yeah, it's a comedy festival that I ran. Jim was at. It was really fun. But I don't really know the guy. We're kind of doing it for the same reason. We're just going to see what it's like to go through a 3-month training camp, learn how to actually throw a punch, learn how to, learn a little jiu-jitsu. It's also. Dude, look, I do an MMA show where I talk shit about this stuff regularly.
Yeah.
And now I realize exactly how ignorant I've been.
Believe you me.
Yeah, with Bisping. With
Michael Bisping.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you're actually going through the training, though. I guess it gives you a healthier respect for what those guys have to
do. It's crazy, dude. Even like, look, I'm 36 years old. It's the first time. I've never really played sports. Never played football. Never did anything. I was a drummer in high school with long hair and a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. And
Were you a drummer?
Yeah.
Rock band?
I was in a rock band, Salty Black Flower.
Jimmy likes you more now because he likes
Salty Black Flower. Yeah. Drummers are kind of crazy anyway because you have such a short shelf life if you don't do it right because the fucking fucks up your elbows and your tendonitis.
Yeah, so I was never an athlete. So jumping into this at 36 years old, and I'm really training. I'm at the Grappling Club NYC in Brooklyn, which is an awesome school in Brooklyn. I'm doing jiu-jitsu a few days a week, boxing.
Where are you doing jiu-jitsu?
I'm doing jiu-jitsu out of the Grappling Club.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm working with Diego Sanchez, who's a comedian, but also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt, MMA coach.
Wait, who?
Amateur.
Not the Diego Sanchez.
No, I'm sorry, Diego Lopez.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Because he's fighting coming up soon.
I love Diego Sanchez.
You guys might have heard of him.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant. He's doing stand-up?
Wait, what's his nickname now?
Is it The Dream now?
I think he might have gone back to The Nightmare, to be honest.
Dream. It's all good with Diego Sanchez. Yeah. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
You remember his fight versus Carol Parisian?
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a fucking great fight, Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy, great fight. If you have to watch something in fucking UFC, what? UFC Fight Pass.
I love Fight Pass.
All the old Diego Sanchez fights
Diego
were
Sanchez
great.
Versus Carol Parisian was a phenomenal fight.
Yeah, super intense.
So go ahead. So you're training now, you're sparring and whatnot?
Everything, dude.
Did you have a fight as a kid? Like, you have some scraps?
Yeah, I got into some street fights, but not really, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't think I really even know how to stand properly until I was.
This is crazy. And what about the guy you're fighting?
He's a Taekwondo black belt. Now, it's going to sound like people think I'm crazy for doing this, but there's also some of the challenge of going like, all right, dude, can I train for 3 months and beat a Taekwondo
black belt? Get a picture
of
the guy up for us, please, on here.
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal.
I want to see what Ryan O'Neal looks like. This is exciting. The Ellis Mania got some wacky shit.
Right? Jason gets people to fight.
I
it's
like
amazing.
Jason.
I've
done his show before.
Not that Ryan O'Neal.
I'm fighting that Ryan O'Neal. Is that guy? Who's that guy from Home Alone?
No, he's married to Farrah Fawcett.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh, right? Or no?
Yeah, he was.
And Tatum O'Neal's his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Danish O'Neal?
Danish O'Neal is his podcast.
This is the guy? O'Neal.
The guy, yeah, that
Which
guy.
Which guy?
On the right.
That guy in the right?
Yeah.
You better fucking beat this guy.
Nah, but you can't tell. He doesn't look like much. But
I'll show you a picture of Jason Rao from my school. He looks like a kind of like a twerp. He'll pick everybody's leg off.
Looks like what's that?
He's not a twerp. He looks slender, my guy.
He's slight of frame.
Yes, but he's my most dangerous guy. But go ahead.
There's a lot of guys. You can't mess with people anymore. You don't know.
You never know.
You never know. You got to look for their shitty ears.
Listen to me. Hold on. Put that picture back up. Lewis, I know. Lewis, you come in rubbing Bengay over your
CBD. Thank you, Infinite CBD, one of my sponsors.
What is that vape pen? Is that for just?
That's actually my official title sponsor for the fight, Smoke Tony. I'm also a businessman. I don't fuck around.
Yeah, Lewis is not. I said, why didn't you train with Matt a little bit? Because Matt's such a great jiu-jitsu guy, but he already had somebody.
But if you want to listen to me, I'm not being. Listen, this is the thing when guys have a fight coming up.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be that guy to be like, let me show you something, and then you'll use it in a fight. I'm not that guy.
No.
If there's anything you want to pick my brain about after the show, on the show, whatever you
want
to do, I got
I will mind. Actually, because I have
you want.
I have a couple little lingering 100%. Injuries that
we can go over some stuff, man. Yeah. I rolled this morning for an hour.
Wow.
I fucking love jiu-jitsu, Lewis. Since I got done fighting, I haven't sparred one day.
Teach Lewis how to do a Kimura.
I'm fucking sure I will.
I know how to do it.
He can do it on me. He can show me.
Dougie, I'm telling you, I've been really into it. And the other thing is, when you're a fan of UFC to the way that I was. I used to be fucking obsessed with the sport. Like now it's just too much going on. There's a fight every weekend. You can't be obsessed. If you're obsessed with UFC now, you're kind of a psychopath. Like there's, how do you have time?
Too many fights.
Too much. But back in the day when it was one fight a month, when the Ultimate Fighter first started, around that time, it was like anything that came out, I would rent every video. I'd go to Tower Records and we bought all the old Pride DVDs. We would buy, Cage Fighting, Fury Fighting Championship.
Are you a sports fan though? Do you watch sports in general?
Nothing, dog.
Me neither, dude.
Nothing. Fuck sports.
That's so weird.
What a weird shit. What a weird thing. When I watch men cheering for other men to cross, bring a ball over a line, it's the gayest shit I've ever seen.
That's what I do in gay porn.
When I see stadiums of like anything with a ball, I'm like, I just don't get it, man. It just doesn't. Like, I remember growing up feeling different, feeling weird about it, because my father wasn't into it either.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, what's wrong with me that everybody loves this and I just don't give a fuck about the Super Bowl, the World Series? I just don't care.
Yeah, you're
even
right,
as a kid, I didn't care. I felt different. I felt like an outcast.
Do you know how to get out of a Kimura? No, I'm asking.
Not a Matt Serra Kimura.
No, but I mean in general.
I mean, the reality
show me, because I don't know. I mean, that thing's behind the back. Yeah, I think you're fucked.
What I've learned, you have to get in there and do it. You can take as many classes as you want, but if you're not actually sparring and rolling and getting in situations and doing it with people that are better than you, it's almost like comedy, dude. Like, you have to go and work with comedians that are better than you.
When you're on the lineup at the Cellar and you know that Attell is on the lineup, or the other night Chris Rock went on, or you see Colin on, or these great comedians, you're like, you better be... It forces you to get better because you're going to look horrible in comparison.
Yeah, and you have to do it. So that's kind of, the most I've learned has actually just been going in there and sparring hard and rolling hard with guys that really know what they're doing. And that's why I keep on injuring myself.
Right.
And that's the thing, at 36 years old,
you
can't go from doing nothing. I mean, look, I'll go to the gym and throw some weights around here and there, but from doing nothing to do, an hour and a half to 2 hours a day of training, where you're combat training, where somebody's trying to throw their limbs into your body, and I have bumps, bruises, every joint.
I want to ask you about the rules for this, because you're saying it's MMA.
Yeah.
Now, is it amateur MMA? Are you wearing any kind of protective gear?
Naked.
It is. Hey, wait, hold on.
Hope there's a north.
Wait
south.
A second. I might not be joking. This Ellis Mania thing gets wacky. They got midgets coming out. They got some weird shit going on.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's 3 3-minute rounds, 1 minute break in between. No elbows or knees to the head.
What about on the floor as far as striking?
Ground and pound. Just no, not elbows. No elbows.
All right, but you can punch.
You can punch.
Oh, no elbows to the head. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And, or no elbows at all.
No elbows to the head.
Okay, that's fair.
Oh, but you could punch to the face on the floor.
Punch to the face. We're wearing headgear. We're wearing these.
Why the fuck are you wearing headgear?
I hate it.
That's worse.
I hate it. First of all, you feel like you're drowning when you're doing jiu-jitsu and you're wearing headgear on the ground. You feel like
It seems like are they making you?
When?
Yeah, I tried to be slick.
What kind of headgear though?
Like boxing Olympic headgear.
But how are you? And you're doing
it's probably for legal. It's probably for insurance.
What kind
purposes.
Of gloves are you wearing?
We're wearing, I guess it's the same gloves they use on the first couple seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. Those big padded sparring MMA gloves.
All right, so it's a little bit more than the 4 ounce. Maybe like a 6 ounce or a 7.
I think they weigh 9 ounces and they disperse the same way that 16 ounce boxing gloves.
Plus,
disperse,
also, dude, impact. You're also again, you guys are not professional fighters, so for insurance reasons, they're probably like, these guys wear headgear, we're not going to insure them.
But haven't they done studies on this? Doesn't headgear actually not protect the fighter? It's just really for cuts. That's the thing it's going to protect you from. But the impact of taking blows to the head over and over again, I just don't know how much that is going to do. I think they've talked about it.
All I know is when I was sparring, I would never wear headgear because my head sweats when I'm fucking don't have nothing on my head.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Sweaty head.
So I just feel, and I
the headphones, they're sliding off.
And sometimes I feel like I can't see. I just didn't like it. But when I was sparring, my whoever I'm sparring with had to wear it, or else I had to wear it for that very reason. If you see right here, you see this over here, this scar?
Yeah.
This was 50 stitches with my Lytle fight, my second Lytle fight.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, we clashed heads at the end of that first round, and I had a huge vagina on my head for the next. I had to fight another 11 minutes with that shit. So you're getting fucking hit in an open cut, and this
hurts.
God, I felt like a man.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Jim, you got to train, dog.
I'm telling you
right now, being punched in the face, once you start doing it, I fought more in the past 3 months. I mean, like 200 or 300 times the amount of time that I fought in my life, right? Yeah. And before I started training, and this is, it's just a thing as a dude, and I'm going to continue training after this, because being punched in the face was such a scarier thing 3 months ago.
Right, of course.
It's changed the perception of what being hit is. I feel like I'm walking around with a different type of confidence because, like, It's not even that I'm. First of all, I am a way better fighter. I know how to do everything a lot better. I'm in better shape, but just that side of it, just not freaking out when somebody's throwing a punch at your head and turning away and running in the opposite direction. You have to experience that a bunch before that becomes a regular thing.
Right.
And I think that's half of it, in my opinion, and get into like a fight.
Do you wear headgear when you're sparring?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I don't, because in the beginning, it was making me like gas. Not even gas. It was just claustrophobic.
Oh, that's it.
So after the first round, I'd pull it off and freak out. But
like, you want it, like after I would do like fucking, when I was getting ready for fights, sometimes we do 5 rounds, 2.5 minutes, a new guy. So it's like I'd be sparring with 2 guys around. You know, if it's
sure,
my fight,
these guys,
you know,
are totally fresh. Yeah,
I got Drago and I got my other guy coming in, and you know what I mean? So for two and a half. So there, I'm getting fresh guys. So after fucking 5 rounds, you just want that thing. I'm like, just get it off. Just get the fucking thing off. Cause you feel, that's what you feel.
Yeah.
You know the word you said before that? That's the word that I can't pronounce.
Yeah. It feels like.
Can I try to pronounce it? Say it again.
Claustrophobic.
I cannot pronounce it.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Try it. We'll cut it out.
No. You promise you guys will cut this out?
Yes.
Okay, what is it again?
Claustrophobic.
Could you do it slower for me?
Claustrophobic.
Louis, don't lose respect for me.
I won't.
All right.
Claus.
I'm good at Camorras, but I'm not good at pronouncing things. That sometimes is a problem when you're doing a radio podcast.
When you were first learning how to do a Camorra, you broke it down step by step.
Let's break it down for the little boy.
Claus.
Tra.
Phobic.
Phobic.
Claustra.
Claustra.
Phobic.
Claustrophobic.
Whoa. You got it.
Bam, bam, bam. I want to thank Louis
for
not judging me.
Say it now.
All right. I want to thank Jimmy.
I helped you.
My old friend, Louis, my new friend.
Say it now.
I can't do it, Jimmy. Claustrophobic.
There you go.
Thank you so much. I got a new word.
I keep saying I'm going to train.
At 44, I got a new word.
I'm going to go down next week and start. I'm going to go to Henzo's next week.
You really are.
I'm 100% going to do it.
You really should, Jim.
It's just because I'm tired all the time. Everyone's sick of hearing it, but I'm going to do it tired.
But no, forget tired. It's going to make you not tired. It's going to wake that side of you up because you're tired all the time because you're not doing anything.
I have sleep apnea. It kills me. I wake up after 8 hours of
sleep. I don't know this, but this is the truth. Like, I'd be willing to bet.
I hope
tell you, exercise will help your sleep apnea.
Well, I do exercise. I exercise 4 times a week. I'm hoping you're right, but I'm going to do it.
What the fuck do you do 4 times a week?
I go to the gym 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may not look it.
Dude, you look in shape.
Oh, come on. Cut it out, Matt.
But I don't agree with Lewis where you don't have to get punched in the fucking face. Lewis is a little...
No, but
he seems a little wacky in a good way.
No, but he means to get affected like mentally.
No, but
by
I don't want Jimmy to get punched in
the
face.
You should.
I should get punched a little bit. A few times, yeah.
I'll smack you around, Jimmy.
I'd like that.
Well, I do think... there's something about that, though, as a dude who, you know... We walk around, it's all built into us. We walk around like afraid in a weird way in whatever capacity. And I don't think you really experienced that, man.
Left me at the 8th grade, Lewis. No, but listen to me. 7th grade, I know what that feels like. I got fucked with, Lewis.
I'm sure you did.
I got fucked with as a little.
You grew up on Long Island?
I grew up on Long Island.
Oh, yeah, dude. They're fucking cocksuckers out
there. They're douchebags, man.
They are, if you're like New Jersey, I grew up in Rockland County. It's the same shit.
Yeah,
New Jersey, Long Island, suburban. These kids have nothing better to do than fuck with each other.
Yeah.
They're bored. Yeah. Being mean is sort of sport in the suburbs. Yeah. I don't think city kids are the same type of mean that suburban kids are. But you started doing jiu-jitsu in the 8th grade?
No. Jiu-jitsu, I didn't find until it wasn't around until I was 18, 17. It came, you know what I mean? I did my first seminar at 18. So I just started, I kind of like, what do you call it? I blossomed. No, I matured a lot between 7th and 8th grade. So I've always been kind of a silly guy, but like, even as a kid. But it's one thing if you're silly and like you can handle yourself and this and any other thing. But you know, people can mistake it as like being weak. Or, I don't know. Like you're a goofball.
No, I'm the same
like
fucking
a goofball.
Way. Same way.
But then try to treat you like.
And then I got a chip on my shoulder because I was always like a class clown. And then eventually people start trying to chump you. And then I have a chip on my shoulder. And now I'm nobody's fucking friend. I remember.
We got a lot in common, me and Lewis.
Like, I was a class clown type until like probably the 9th grade. And then eventually people started, you know, even though I'm a bigger guy, like I've always been a bigger kid, people talk to you in a certain way because they think you're being funny at all times. And then I just kind of, that's when I started wearing the Marilyn Manson t-shirts.
They started misinterpreting that. See, they always thought I was a pussy and they were right.
Jimmy,
a good move.
We were all telling stories how we started this way, then we ended. Jimmy's like, yeah, you know, they had me pegged right.
Me fucking pegged right.
No,
and then I got older and really got pegged right.
No, but 8th grade, I blasted, man. I trained. I was like the first guy to fuck with me in the 8th grade. And I busted his nose. And then It's weird. Like, you don't want to be like, yo, that'll get your respect. But, yo, you got to stand up for yourself.
You have to.
You know, I got my 9-year-old training on jiu-jitsu now with me, you know.
So if anybody gets fresh on a date, she's got the ability to fucking push the guy off.
Imagine having this as a kid. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I had it at 18 years old. I didn't. And they don't. They're not going to have that. That feeling of the uncertainty when you get into a physical situation of something's about to go down. They're used to controlling and escaping, and they used to have people grab onto them and them escaping.
Also, people that really know what they're doing.
Exactly.
So then you're like, oh, so really, this joke. Guy?
So they're not going to have that nervous feeling of a physical confrontation. So, and it's going to have them deal with that, and that anxiety is not going to be there.
I got to say, talking about this, I'm sure you guys talked about it ad nauseum, and I'm sure every guest that comes on brings
it up.
Omarosa.
I'm sorry.
I'm a what?
I'm a what? Omarosa.
Omarosa.
No, but the video of you in the restaurant with that dude.
Fucking do.
I'm sure you talked, but
good for jiu-jitsu.
Dude.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about, though.
It was awesome. Like, it was awesome. But, I mean, what a great advertisement for you to be restraining yourself. Yeah. But like,
my kids were there. You have a kid.
I have a 5-year-old. Yeah, of course.
I have a 5-year-old too.
And that
you have a little boy.
Little boy, yeah. And huge fear of mine to, you know, be dealing with something and some dude, you know, and that was great for you to show. I mean, look, you're also, you know, a martial artist on another level, so you can show that type of restraint and control that guy. But, you know, it's great for you. It's great for the sport to kind of just say, hey, look, you can actually de-escalate a situation by being physical and dominating a dude and, you know, really embarrassing him.
Now, this guy was a mess, you know.
Hammered, right?
What's that?
Hammered.
Oh, hammered. Him and his wife. When it happened, his wife was literally just passed out in the booth behind us. He went to attack my waiter and whatnot, and I got up and he addressed it to me. Now look, if I didn't know jiu-jitsu, and I'm just a tough guy, and I have to neutralize that situation, and how am I going to do it? I have to hit him, and if I hit him, I'll hurt him, and then I'm there with my wife, my kids. Now, like they're gonna get traumatized. I hit him; his head hits the floor; he's dead. Or you know what I mean? Like, these things happen.
Yep.
So it just happened.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you. That coach.
No.
It happened. Yeah. There was some argument. Some guy was drunk, and this local college coach just belted him because the guy was, I guess, being drunk.
Yeah.
And the guy hit his head. Now they're charging him manslaughter. That's how it happen.
It happens all the fucking time. So it's like, but having jiu-jitsu, and I know. It's not just because you're wearing a Superman shirt. It is like having a fucking superpower.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to be able to neutralize that fucking situation. And I had my wife and my kids there.
But he was
my
bigger than you.
And his kid.
Were you nervous because he was bigger?
Jimmy's fucking funny. He always does. But it's like, but to me and anybody I train with, it's 100% not a big deal. Because we used to, I'm sure if you took the Michael Bisping, he's going to be like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's because...
Michael Bisping would have gotten a couple shots in.
Yeah, he might actually hit. If he had a couple of drinks, he might handle it differently. Yeah, but
he would have hit his shoe.
Mike would have been the guy threatening the waiter. Exactly. Where's my fucking beer?
Give me another drink, mate, you wanker.
But it's just, it's like you're used to just, like we were just talking about, I'm used to controlling people on a regular, this morning for an hour, I was just mounted on my black belts. They had a hard time getting out. So it's like, it's a fucking joke, but to the untrained eye or somebody who's not used to that, it's like, look, that guy's trying his hardest. He's threatening. The other guy's laughing. He's like, so it's like to them, it's like when I first seen jiu-jitsu at 18.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you first saw Hoist Gracie, you were like, what is he doing?
How is he doing that?
So
effortlessly.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Were your kids freaking out?
No, at one point, Lewis.
Because I would imagine my son would start to get upset. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a. You know,
my oldest gets. Not, I don't want to say she gets. It could be dramatic for anybody.
Yeah.
But my oldest was crying and stuff when it was broken up. But my middle one, Maria, she's so cute. You know, she's such a daddy's girl. When I was mounted on a guy, I can show you exactly when it happened, but. You know, I'm telling him to calm down and this and that. I told my sister to film it, by the way, because that's who filmed it. Because you saw when it got broken up, the first thing
course.
He said.
Then, yeah, he
press charges. Me, yeah, and yeah. So I told her to film it, you know.
I thought you were just trying to make TMZ.
And when I got... Oh, dude, it ended up on TMZ.
I know.
But,
Maria, film this shit. I'm getting famous.
I go, Sam, I go, film this. And first of all, when I did take him down, though, he was that drunk and he was so... It was so tense in that place. When I took him down, I got a bigger applause than when I got the title, dude. That place, it went from, you know, something's quiet in a situation like that when a guy's threatening thing and throwing things and you know something's going to happen. And then when I took him down like a baby, and isn't that, everybody just applauded. It's just,
how did you take him down? Did he throw a punch at you?
No, he took the shirt off.
He took his shirt off.
And as his shirt was coming off over his head and his arms coming back,
You know, nothing.
He put himself under the hockey position for nothing. You.
Well, he squared off with me because he was threatening my waiter. So when I got up to protect the waiter, because the waiter was going to get smacked.
You did not take away like, Matt Sarah's bread rolls.
Oh, no, dude, that guy goes, yeah, no, that would have fucking been a flying off lock. But so then he directed everything towards me. Yeah, I told the story before. You know, then so then when I got him around, so he went to take the shirt off when he asked if I wanted to fight you, I'll fuck you up, whatever he said. He takes the shirt off, brings his arm back. I fucking just jumped right in. Right around the waist. I grabbed him right around the waist. And I bent him right backwards.
And you bent
him
afterwards. Backwards and put him on the ground.
Yeah, right,
man. Gently.
But my wife's funny because she goes, when you got a hold of him, I thought you were gonna slam him, but you put him down like a.
Well, you got to. It's the same thing.
So gently.
The most I've been hurt training so far has been grappling. It's not been striking at all.
But you can get more and more relaxed with that. That's when but you're really tense in the beginning.
Dude, I dislocated my shoulder, dog. In the training camp. Literally, subluxation. Shoulder came out and in like a month ago.
What were you doing? Kimura?
I was trying to take a...
What's that?
I was trying to take a wrestler down, and he's just a big son of a bitch. He was like, yeah, I'm not going to let you take me
down.
We're
going to go over some stuff.
And he was fighting it, and I went to, like, you know, pop up and take him like that, and the arm just went... And I was like, fuck. But I went to go see a great physical therapist.
And you're okay?
Feels great.
Yeah.
So what are you going to show Lewis after?
Oh, dude, anything you want, but I especially getting out of some positions. But I think also some... Well, anything you want. But
how do you get out of someone throwing a karate chop?
Oh, wait, really quick. But what I was saying before, when I was mounted on...
that guy.
Because my kids were there, I locked eyes with my five-year-old because I saw her just looking at me. Like, she wasn't crying. She was just looking at me just like
nervous.
Frozen.
Yeah.
You know, she's so cute. And I remember going, it's okay. You hear my voice change, go, it's okay. And then I went back to look at him. So it sounds like I'm talking to him.
Yeah.
So I'm going, the whole time I'm telling him to calm
down.
That's
funny. Yeah, I know.
At
exactly
one point,
that's
I go, funny. Yeah, at yeah, one yeah. point, I go, it's okay. And I go, and it was when I'm talking to my Maria,
like,
you know.
Matt is very gentle when he grapples. Yeah. It's okay, baby doll. It's okay. I love you.
That's the
I
one
love
thing.
You so much.
It does sound cool because it sounds like I'm talking to him with that. But then I went back to talking to him and, hey, buddy, calm down.
But it's also, you did a great job at sort of de-escalating as well with your temperament because you see, like, I don't know. I think they train cops when they come in to fucking scream, get on the fucking floor.
They
jar you. They free, you know, You know, and I think people, I understand that side of it as well. You know, if there's somebody that's a violent criminal.
I think I'll try to kill you.
Yeah, you want to make sure that he's scared shitless. And I think sometimes they go, why does the cop have to be so aggressive and be a dick? You're like, well, no, you don't know what they're dealing with every day. But on the other side, I kind of watched you de-escalate it by not, because you could have been calling him names and, you know, really fucking with him and, you know, cursing at him or telling him
he's full of turkey.
Listen, especially when there's alcohol involved. You know, this guy I got pegged as a real lowlife because even afterwards he was making rude gestures with his mouth to my sister, my wife, and shit, and his kids. He's a piece of shit.
Did you want
to
go over him? Did you want
to
punch him?
That's what I'm like. Yo, I should be. I was a little too nice, but it's good. He didn't do that beforehand. You know what I mean? So nothing. This could have went way south. I mean, if they did something, you know, my kids were there. So I knew it's good to be able to neutralize the situation with nothing happening. Like, it's really just nipping it in the bud. The guy's shirt's coming off. What's happening next? Is the guy going to start going, hey, man, I was just hot in here? No, the motherfucker's going to swing, Lewis.
That's such a great
point.
So
it's like, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
Nip it in the bud. Nobody got hurt. I might have got a few new students. No, I'm only kidding. Listen, hey, no, it's great for jiu-jitsu. If anybody wanted to learn jiu-jitsu after that because of that, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All the other jiu-jitsu artists out there, from Damian Maya to the Gracie brothers, the younger than me, but you know, Hiron and all those guys, they were like putting it on their Instagrams, and because it's nice to know that if you have jiu-jitsu like that, you could take care of a situation without having to work somebody over, scarring your children.
Do you think Henzo would have been as gentle?
It depends.
Do you remember when Henzo live tweeted him beating up dudes that were trying to mug him?
Henzo's
Do you remember? It was late at night. It was like 1 in the morning. He's like, there's guys following me. This is probably not a good idea for them. Smiley face.
He's crazy.
Fucking psychotic. I love him.
He will smack you. You know what I mean? I smacked him in the face. Like, he loves it.
Hey, did you see his fight? How great was his fight?
Awesome.
He's 51 years old.
And I look at it in a different eyes. Like, just I didn't even know how technical and how amazing it was what he did. Like, you don't even know. It looks like he dragged him to the ground and choked him out. But then you start to understand. You have a real appreciation for
everything, the technique, the grapevine on the leg. He brings him down. He has the bottom leg under, you know, underneath first. You don't even realize these things until you start training. So that's why I say anybody who's a fan of the sport, you know, dude, get out there and do it. You know, give it a try.
Lewis has convinced me because Lewis I know really well. And for 3 months, you're saying you feel so much better. I'm not going to train that intensely, but.
I mean, night and day in terms of the way I look at the sport, in terms of the way that I feel. You know, I am cycling off steroids, but.
Are you?
No.
Are you?
But everyone.
Hey, I'm on TRT.
Are you on TRT?
It's one of the reasons why, and this is going to
sound. I just think you're very vascular right now.
I've been doing a lot of, and all I do is jiu-jitsu and push-ups and sit-ups and shit, calisthenics. But all I do is jiu-jitsu. Like this morning I did an hour, and with the gi. But with the gi, I use the same shit I would use without the gi. Yeah. I'm not a guy with the gi that starts undressing you and, oh, look, you take this out, you put it under his leg, you get the outcome.
Can you choke somebody in a gi?
Fucking Jimmy. Jimmy's so funny.
You start pulling out different colored handkerchiefs.
I use it as a jacket, though. Yeah. Like, I get behind, I'll strangle and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I am on TRT, and that's one of the reasons, even though I know I'll make some money, is I don't do any grappling matches. Because
you feel like you're...
Well, I never competed on anything, ever. Yeah. I fought the greats. Win or lose, I never used anything. Yeah. Now I am. And I don't give a fuck. I'm retired.
But it's also legal. You're 44. You said 44?
It is legal. I know guys are doing it with grappling. Nothing Maybe wrong. It changed my whole fucking thing. I would just feel like I'm cheating. What if my guy's not? I'm still trying to break his limbs.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm rolling with my guys, who gives a fuck? Like, we're just rolling. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. I would...
Do you only roll with the black belts?
No, this morning was all black belt. No, not at all.
But here's the thing.
My buddy Tess is a brown belt. I roll with him a lot. I rolled my Paisan. I rolled my buddy Sal. It's a purple belt.
Okay.
I can roll with anybody. I can have a great time just with anybody.
Sure.
Because you do, like Henzo taught me that. It's one of my first real, not one of my first, but a lesson that stands out over time. And I tell to my guys as they come up, I was a purple belt, right? In the city here training with Henzo. And I was just, I would just get guys, and I was just smash them, just whatever belt they were, fucking white belt to fucking whatever. I would just go hard, try to get them as hard as I can, fast as I can. How many times can I tap them in 5 minutes? And Henzo goes, Matt, man, what are you doing? You know, what the fuck are you doing, man? I go, what? Is that what the game is? Make him say uncle. I'm trying to tap him. He goes, man, what does a cat do with a mouse? Huh? Does it just go up and kill it? No, man, it plays with it, smacks it around. You know, he's fucking. So he goes.
He turned into a Mexican.
You get this. Did I do it? Hey. I'm not good with accents. But listen.
He drinks some cerveza. So I'm like, Ese.
What does he do?
It's not an assault. Hands are crazy. I got him, man.
Listen, it's a terrible hands.
Do you do it?
Yeah.
Do it.
I can't do it.
I can't do it either. Hey. How about I just do it normal but pretend it's a
brilliant. What the fuck? That's all I can do. That's my Henzo.
But no, listen, I love Henzo. But he would just tell me, listen, be like a cat with a mouse. You play with it. So a white belt, I would take them. I would let them get my back. They'd almost get the choke. I'd grab low. I'd grab high and hold that arm. Get it to the other side. Get my shoulders to the mat. Make sure he doesn't mount. Get on top. Get him an arm. He gets me in an arm bar. I do the proper escape. Like you play. Yeah. And you still get a great
And you're
workout.
Also getting, I think, yes. a better understanding of the way the human body reacts. So you're spending more time, you know, that's the other thing. You start to really, jiu-jitsu more than anything else, the only thing I can compare it to is I've done hot yoga before, right? And in
Bikram yoga?
Yeah,
Bikram
I've yoga.
I've done that too.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this.
A lot of nice cracks in there.
Jimmy always goes to the back of the room.
Last row.
Last row in the corner.
Yeah, and the fucking.
I just don't got an hour and a half. The fucking
long.
Stretch and go waterfalls.
Hour. Well, and it's the same exact thing, but you start to go like, well, you know, if you know anything about exercise, like if you do the same thing over and over again, or isn't it eventually just going to not work anymore? Like, but then you know, what it is they try to go deeper and deeper into these poses and they become more connected with their body. It's like mind-body connection. When they talk about that, jiu-jitsu is the next thing that like I did where I was like, oh shit, dude, like I'm aware of where my fucking toes are right now while I'm doing this versus like, I think when you're just, you know, striking or boxing, you're not like, I almost feel like with jiu-jitsu, every muscle fiber, you kind of feel like tensing and you feel like, I don't know. I just feel much more in tune with, you know, where my body is spatially. I think that's like a sense. I forget what that the term is, but like where, you know, things are. And, I, you know, overall, I mean, it helps with like lifting weights. Now when I lift weights, I have better form. I'm just like psychologically more connected with it. It's a really great thing.
It's not your whole body just lunking something up. You can feel where everything is and if it's where it's supposed
to be. I'm more connected with my body.
I really want to take it. I'm going to do private lessons though, just for the time. It'd be easier for me. I don't have to run down and be on a schedule. I can just do it when I have the time.
Yeah, you should.
Jimmy.
Private lessons?
It's so much fun, Jimmy. And you get a workout.
Who can I go down there with? Henzo, of course. He's too big.
I'll bring you down there today. I mean, there's so many guys.
I know. I have a doctor's appointment after this. I cannot go today. I have a 2 o'clock doctor's appointment.
I'm getting flashbacks every time I ask you to go eat. He always has something going on, Lewis.
I do.
It's not like I'm looking for a friend, Lewis. No. I love me and Jimmy are really close.
I haven't had a doctor's appointment.
But I bet you, like, if the count was, if Michael Bisping was in town, you guys do. I want to hear about your podcast now, but you do it from he's from on the West Coast.
Yeah, he's out in L.A. I'm in New York, and we do it via we use like a program. It's not Skype, but it's
hard to do that way though, isn't it?
Are you not with Sirius by the way anymore?
No, not anymore. Done? But it was kind of hard to do it. We first started doing the show on SiriusXM, via ISDN line. So
that's hard, man.
We developed a relationship connecting without looking at each other, kind of learning the beats and how each other speak.
That's so hard, man.
We spent a long time doing it on the radio that we did 2 years. So we did the podcast and now we have video. I mean, I'm looking at a screen, he's looking at me on a screen. Oh. You sort of disconnect from the fact that you're not even in the room.
But is the screen, Lewis? I've thought of doing that too for travel. There's been times for travel if I have to shoot something and I'm going to do my show at Sam in the morning. Like, I'm not looking at you guys on purpose right now. Like, when you do it with video, is there that half second off that a phone interview has?
We use vMix, which is like a really, really good program, and it's really on point.
And you have a mic that you would, you're not traveling, but okay.
Yeah, he travels though. He does it from his hotel room. And
what, does it sound the same?
Yeah, sounds great.
What, does he use a mic or a headset?
He uses a mic. I think he's just regular buds. He plugs in. But yeah, we have a really good mic. I'll send you guys like the text.
I would love to know. Yeah, just because for travel, there's been certain radio days I've missed that I didn't want to miss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I have to shoot, I don't want to be gone for 4 days and not be able to do the show.
Yeah, there's a program. I mean, I don't know exactly how SiriusXM is set up, but I mean, we do ours online and they use ISDN, so it's a little different. But technically, I'm sure you can.
Can you do it with just Wi-Fi or no?
Yeah, but it's better with.
Hotels don't have ISDN, though.
No, not ISDN, but
the Ethernet.
Ethernet.
Oh,
when how do people listen to your podcast? Because I know when I hear your clips is when I hear it on YouTube a lot. Because there's always like they do the fucking sound
people
bites.
Always. Steal well, that's how the,
Is that the wrong thing? I don't care.
I like it.
But that's how I listen. That's I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Listen, I don't want to get graphic, but I'm on the toilet in the morning. I go to my YouTube,
boy
or whatever.
Beating
off.
No.
I get my espresso, double shot. And a can of seltzer. So trying to like clear me.
The seltzer, I don't
think. Oh, a whole thing of seltzer. I love club soda.
I do too.
So I have that in the morning. It's delicious. I clear it out. I look on YouTube or check my phone, whatever, man.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had to tell you that.
I'd love to know about your log habits.
Lewis slipped me truth serum. I don't know what he gave me. But anyway. So then I see they do like the sound bites of the fucking count. Of Michael Bisping says this, and then it's your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I like the fact that people take it. Yeah. They promote it that way. I mean, there's certain channels that are fan channels that have tens of thousands of viewers. So when we put the same clips out, we get like 5,000 views, and then this other guy gets 100,000. So as long as he links back to our podcast,
as long as they're listening, matter how. As long as they hear you.
Yeah, exactly. So we do the podcast on my podcast network. It's called Gas Digital Network, but it's free on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, everywhere else. We love it, dude. Bisping's the fucking man, dude.
Bisping a lot.
Dude, he's a real hustler. Like he's a guy who just wants to work. I've never seen somebody that is more addicted to work.
He's actually really great as an analyst too. I mean, he's just everybody likes Bisping, and I'm happy to see that he went right into it after his fighting.
Listen, I don't know what stands out right in my head right now, and I love it so much. Is when it was I might have saw it in one of those Karma videos. Like you watch Karma things. It's the second fight, and Bisping's about they're about to go in the middle
against Henderson.
What's that?
Against Bisping and who?
Bisping versus Luke Rockhold. I'm sorry. You guys know what the fuck I'm talking about. So he's about to fight Luke Rockhold, right, for the second time. And they go to the middle, and they're he's giving them the last-minute instructions. And he says something, and then Luke goes, "We're not going to touch hands." And he's like, "I'll touch you in a minute." "Well, I'll touch you in a minute, motherfucker." Myself, like, I fucking love it. Hey, you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly. Cody wouldn't touch hands either. Please? Cody wouldn't do it against
CJ.
When
he just said to him, "Yeah, I'm going to touch you in a minute, motherfucker."
Yeah.
He had no fear to a guy that finished him pretty easily. And I was there for both fights live. So not only did he have the balls to take the fight with a guy that finished him handedly, and it looked easily in the first fight, he took that fight on short notice. But a guy that beat him, and he took it confidently. He didn't take it like, oh, maybe I'll do better this time. Yeah. He took it with the same fuck you attitude. And he look, that happened in that day. But you know, every day is different. Every sparring match is different.
Sorry to interrupt, Matt. What's up? Chris, just go into Fight Pass.
Yeah, well, we were doing the radio show leading up to that. I loved it so much. Leading up to the fight, we were doing the radio show. I'm not kidding, dude. Michael Bisping, he was fucking confident. He knew he was going to win that title. I mean, he couldn't have been any more, you know, behind scenes. Like, you're supposed to say things. Like, look, GSP fight, dude, he had a rib injury. We're on our podcast. Literally, he got ice against his ribs. You could hear the bag crinkling. I'm pretending to eat potato chips so nobody knows he's got this horrible rib injury. It's a different thing. You know, with Luke Rockhold, he was like, I'm walking out the champion. He brought his family, it's a real deal thing. Yeah. So, that was a pretty incredible moment. That was, you know.
I like watching.
It's a different level when you start to know these guys.
Jimmy. Chris, listen to you, but Liz, it's funny. Look at it. It doesn't come up.
Yeah, I know. Chris is literally looking up Fedor fights. What are you doing?
It's good.
I can't see with that thing struggle in the corner. Can you make that?
Yeah, I'm moving. Hold on.
How's your producer?
Well, oh, now you spoiled it.
Cool
one?
Yeah, we got a really cool producer, Shannon.
I'm not shitting on Chris. I love Chris, the producer.
She's way hotter than Chris.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't hear it, Chris.
Yeah, go to the beginning.
I'm going to get to it.
I can't hear it.
Unmute it. Really.
I love it.
Can you make it bigger?
Look how fucking handsome Rockhold is. He
was wearing linen pants with no underwear. I was my fucking idol, this guy.
Certain
I love Luke Rockhold.
Stick out like in your head.
Yeah, his dick in those pants.
Oh, you see, Jason Perillo's coming in next week, dude.
Perillo's the man.
Yeah, I like
Perillo is the man.
Some guys you get along with right away. I got along with him right away.
I've never met him.
I met him in Australia is the time we kind of really hung out.
Here he goes.
Watch this.
Gentlemen, got on with the rules in the back. I want you to protect yourself at all times. Obey my commands at all times. I want you to fight clean, fight hard. You want to touch down? Go ahead. Good luck to both of you.
I'll touch you in a second, motherfucker.
I didn't go. I didn't know he was
And look, by the way, look at Luke's face right there. Luke knew right there. Luke's not confident there. The way he looked
no,
down.
No, he's not.
He's not confident.
Good call. Yeah, I take it. Nah, I disagree. That motherfucker's always confident.
Let it play. We don't have to
he
listen.
He still thinks
play.
He's going to take a shit on him and then Bisping fuck it.
This was so awesome.
Listen to me. That makes that gets your fans right there. Because that's real.
Really
that's
confident.
Real.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I want no touch. I'll touch you in a minute. Wait, second motherfucker.
Are they still talking about Luke moving up? Was he talking about
it.
Moving up in weight?
I love it.
Or no?
Well, the last I heard is that potentially he'd be fighting Weidman, but that's not set up yet, but that would be at 185. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I was wondering.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Why did I think he was moving up? There was talking about him.
No, he was definitely talking about it after the Romero loss, but.
Yeah.
Though I've never been more excited than this moment watching MMA.
I thought of you when the fight happened because I was
crazy.
So happy with this thing.
We were watching it at SiriusXM, and it was like, I mean, it's like you win. It's so weird what a bizarre feeling it is when you know a guy.
I was about to ask you that. It's a different feeling, isn't
Way
it?
Way different.
It's different when you have a favorite fighter or you met a fighter, but
well, any fight is great. A street fight is great. But then you start to go down the levels of vested interest, whether it's a friend or now you're a fan or you know somebody, they're on your training with them.
You met his family.
Yeah, I've been in his house. I petted his dog. Yeah.
Why is the video shitty?
Is it?
Yeah, it's choppy. Right? I'm just wondering if it's the TV
That's
or the actual
right.
Internet connection.
Yeah, it's
you know who's shitty is the fucking security guard.
Yeah, can we get a new TV?
Security guard downstairs is rude, Lewis.
Is he rude?
Why? You know what I don't like when I come? Maybe I listen. Let's just give him a pass.
Let's ask if Lewis saw him this morning.
Did you see him?
He didn't say anything. He just let me walk in. No questions.
Yeah, there's two of them, Matt.
Oh, maybe
so
he's
I don't
not
know
a
who you ran into.
Yeah, me neither. He didn't ask me any questions either.
So you don't know. I don't want to blow him up in case it's the wrong guy, you know.
Yeah,
so.
We need to fix the connection. It's probably just a wire issue.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't you hate when you say hello to somebody and then they don't say nothing back? They just like ignore you. It's like fucking. It's like you don't got to kiss my hand. I say like, just how about
say hello,
a
friendly salutation.
But you know they say you never know what a guy's going through.
Yeah,
fuck that. How
I
about
don't
a
care
smile?
What he's going
how
through.
About a smile, asshole?
Be a person.
Yeah, it's also
right, Lewis. Is that hard? Just
it's first impressions. You guys got to show. You have people coming in here. You want them to feel welcome.
Well, he doesn't make me feel welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a big fan.
This
of
was
guy.
Fucking crazy. It was so nuts watching.
It
this
really was.
Happen, yeah.
No, this is great. No, this is great. I watched this live, man. Yeah. This is fun to watch live.
I know. I just now we're just
Wait,
watching
Jimmy,
the fight.
Wait, Jimmy, you were there with me.
Yeah. I was not there.
No, you weren't there with me, Jimmy.
No. I watched this on TV. I remember thinking of Lewis because I love Bisping too. He's such a fun guy.
I've seen a lot of fights.
Yeah. And I've talked to Rockhold a few times after, and I really like him more now because I've gotten to know him a little bit, mildly, and he's a nice guy too. He's a good dude.
I feel bad. He was on the show last time, and we weren't.
Yeah, he wasn't.
We weren't meshing well.
I talked to him after that. He was like, oh, Matt didn't like you, but he wasn't mad. He's
he
like,
just seems like he's not a super charismatic guy.
Yeah, he's you know, it's like people expect a really handsome guy who dated Demi Lovato to be a dick. Like, you just expect that because he's such a good looking dude. He's like a model. People are like, ah, he looks like a, but he's actually not. He's a really good
guy.
He's
a very laid back. He's a California.
But also, yeah. Demi Lovato, she's. But I mean, for celebrity status, she's not that great.
Oh, please. You kidding me? But, she's all over the news.
She's hot, but she's fucking, you know, she's not.
She's Demi Lovato.
You know.
She's Demi Lovato.
She's fine. Look, I feel like he could do way better. I feel like Luke Rockhold could get way better than Demi Lovato.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's cleaning up and when he's in Vegas, but I like the guy a lot. And
no, listen, I like him too. When he was on the show, though, we were outside, Lewis,
in that
and
tent.
You couldn't hear each other this close, so that was awkward.
Yeah,
they had it like some people were right here that were talking amongst themselves because they couldn't hear us. And then there was like a big open spot, and then there was the fans behind it. Dude, it was a fucking shitty setup.
Jimmy, did you grow up in New York?
I grew up in Jersey. I moved to New York in 2002.
So you're going to connect with this. Here's why I don't like Luke Rockhold, because I've never met Luke Rockhold a single time. But my friend Michael Bisping doesn't like this guy.
Yes.
And I just have a weird East Coast loyalty thing where it's like, if you're an enemy of my friend, you're my enemy.
That's what
I feel about it.
Oh, shit.
I just don't like him.
We just watched.
Yeah. Oh my God, he hammered him down with that too. Wow. Yeah, he really.
That's good.
That's the happiest anybody's ever been.
Dog, he's so fucking happy right now.
You know what Bisping's not though? A good winner.
No, yeah, he goes. You know where you're at, buddy. You know where you're at, buddy.
Listen, I like people who are themselves.
He is himself.
He's himself. You see him. He's a family man too. His family's nice. I like Michael Bisping.
I'm flying out to his place on Monday. We're going to train get a few days in.
Oh, good, man.
You know, it's the last week, so the fight's on the 25th.
You know
so.
What? I could tell you. This might be. You're probably going to be one and done unless you do more fucking. Maybe you'll be the regular Jason Ellis Mania. Yeah, whatever right. It is. But you are going to get a little tingle in your nuts before you walk out, and that's the feeling. I always say that's the feeling of feeling alive. You're gonna.
Yep.
Guys get addicted to that feeling.
Yeah.
At first, it's like a scared to death feeling. But it's a feeling that guys, when you no longer have it, you miss it. And you're like, oh, man, you know what I mean? I'm currently talking, you have to talk certain fighters, not the fight that shouldn't be fighting anymore.
Yeah.
Because they get addicted to that feeling. So you're going to feel that.
When is your fight, Lewis?
August 25th, next Saturday.
Are tickets available or no?
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah, we got 10 days. Tickets are available, I believe. OfficialJasonEllis.com is the website. It's also on pay-per-view, $10, $15. You can watch it as well. I don't know. Here's the thing this is the other humbling part of all of it. It's like, I'm sitting there, I'm going to fuck this guy up. I could beat him up. We start to talk to guys who know about fighting. You start to have real conversations. I have no idea how this guy fights. What it's about literally me being the best version of myself.
Lewis is challenging himself. It's amazing that you're doing it, dude.
Do me a favor, though. Put in YouTube footage. See if we can find footage of this guy doing take one, though.
He has actually one little thing.
If you do it. Find it.
There's one little thing, but he's just fucking around, like a little bit of Muay Thai with his buddy, but not actual. It's dead. I have to charge it again.
Do me a favor. Can you charge this for me? His phone's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Just
look at me. I'm not winking like the fucking raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy. Look at me, Christopher Medusa. Look at my right eye.
Guys, Matt wants to put my phone back in his mouth. Charge it.
Could you please charge the gentleman's phone?
Which one is
phone?
It, Lewis? Do you see?
Let me see. The second one down.
Railroad's fun.
Second one down.
Did you see my video of the guy talking to me on the Long Island Railroad? Do you know how annoying that fucking was? Guy, listen to me. Nice guy, Jimmy, the other day on the fucking railroad. Jimmy, he got me when I was standing up. I walked away from him. I'm sorry. I got to use the bathroom. The people got up at Jamaica. I found his seat. A two-seater, and there was a lot of seats at that point. He sat right next to me in a two-seater. Okay, where was I? And my kids and... Holy fuck, Jimmy. I wanted to pull the emergency. I wanted to get out the window, Jimmy.
It's very annoying.
It's not nice, Jimmy. And I was trying to be nice. Is this the guy?
Yeah, he's just playing around.
He's just playing around, though. But you can see, like, he's got form. Like, the way
the skinny guy?
Yeah, the tall guy.
Okay.
He's just fucking around.
All right, look, he's doing some fucking stuff, man.
Yeah, he's just joking around. So he's not even being a dick. They're having fun. It looks like old footage.
He's got a jab. He's got, you know, like, look, he knows how to, you see what he, like, the way he puts his hip into the knees.
He has long knees, too.
Yeah, you can tell he knows how to throw
long legs,
strikes.
I mean.
But look, you know,
frail.
I'm not. I like boxing. I like punching and kicking. I like getting in there and doing it. So
How's your grappling going?
My grappling's really good, dude. I tap out blue belts all the time in my classes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. I feel really good about it. I was actually making that point before because I'm such a fan of it. I think a lot of that base knowledge stuff you start to know because you've watched it so many times. So, you know, whatever it is, it's just like you know, when they start to tell you about technique, you start to go, oh, cool, I've seen that technique and I know why they're doing it because right. I've watched it in a, like a different way. So I think I jumped in pretty well. I think I'm pretty good. I really like jiu-jitsu a lot.
I'm going to go down next week.
That's freaking exciting.
No, I'm going to go.
It's good.
Even if I'm tired, I'm just going to go down. Even if I stink. I mean, I'm sure I'll stink at it, but I mean, even if I'm going to go. I'm going to get my nails clipped and I'm going to head down.
That's the weirdest way to describe starting jiu-jitsu.
Get your nails clipped. You have to. I got to go to the doctor's. So, you guys want to keep talking, you can.
We can jump out, man. Listen, Lewis, what do you want to promote besides this fight? Let's promote the fight properly again.
Yeah, it's August 25th, Ellis Mania, Las Vegas, Nevada, the joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Going to be fighting in front of 2,500 people for the first time. Special shout out to my sponsor, Smoked Honey. I believe I'm the first fighter ever being sponsored by weed.
Smoked Honey?
Smoked Honey. What I'm smoking right here, not you guys, but what I'm smoking...
Smoked Honey.
If you're in Southern California and you like smoking weed, get some Smoked Honey. They are allowing me to train like a champion, guys. I'm going into training every single day, getting high on Smoked Honey. It's a whole other level.
Well, Smoked Honey, you know, listen, if you want me to sample some... listen to me. Get in touch with Chris the producer. Yeah.
I will get you guys some Smoked Honey. There's no debate about it. They would love if Matt Serra sampled some of the products.
You know, Smoked Honey. I control the board, Smoked Honey. I do.
And then I got some other podcasts as well. This one's dead. I got to wait for that one to charge.
I was going to use your phone again.
Yeah. Legion of Skanks podcast, Real Ass podcast. They're all on my podcast network, which is gasdigitalnetwork.com. We just announced Andrew Dice Clay coming to our network.
Oh, awesome.
D. Snyder's coming to our network. Really, really... Bisping show, obviously, as well. And
where's your show?
Jamie Josta from Hate Breed. We got a lot of great
shows.
You
do a live show? Is that the Legion of Skanks?
Legion of Skanks is live every Monday night, 9 p.m. out of the Creek and Cave. We got to get both you guys on Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, I haven't been on in a while. Awesome. I'll definitely go back on.
That's why I brought it up.
Cleveland.
I brought it up to try to get on.
I love it, baby.
I got Cleveland tomorrow and Saturday at the Abbey in Cleveland and Hilarities tomorrow and Saturday. First time at that club. So if you want to come see me, come see me. And we'll see you in a couple days.
Fuck! I'm only love you, Jimmy. I love you so much. I know you got to run. I'm gonna be cornering Eddie Truck Gordon in tomorrow.
Good man.
Night.
He's fighting. Yeah, Atlantic City.
He's Atlantic City. I don't know what the fuck it is. The old Revel. I don't know what the fuck it is. But anyway, I'm gonna be cornering my buddy Eddie Truck Gordon, the UFC fucking Ultimate Fighter winner.
Oh, good, good.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
Good.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much, and Lewis. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Oh yeah, dude. Love you guys.
Anytime. Come back,
man. Great show. You guys are the best. Listen to Michael Bisping. Believe you me as well. We do that live every Monday at 3:30. You can listen to it live, watch it live, video. And thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you.
You're the best.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.